Today's daf in Masechet Gittin brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim is daf Yud, and we are holding at that Halakha Mishnah right at the end of the first quarter of the daf. Kol Geit sheyesh alav eid kuti pasul. So as we saw yesterday, we were talking about the various issues that are unique to two things: Gittin Hashem and Shichurei Avadim. One of them was this Mishnah, that a normal contract, remember that gate, especially in the context of Colgate, means toothpaste. Yes. I mean, it means any it means any type of contract whatsoever. For some reason, as we're going to see in the Gemara. And there was once a ma'aseh, she'vil lifnei rabban gamliel lekvar otna'i, a gate isha vayu edav edekutim, and Rabbi Gamliel v'halachalam ma'aseh was machsher. Now, on the surface, it sounds as if this is a case that confirms the Tanakhama in the Mishnah. In reality, a closer look will show that there seems to be a very big difference between the two shitot. The Tanakhama said kol sheget sheshel av edekuti pasul, which is mashma, we will only accept a single witness who's a kuti, and that by the Gittin Hashem Shichurei Avadim, whereas the Maisa was a dav, a day kutim, in which all the witnesses were kuti, and it appears that there's some difference in the shitot. Now, as far as what is involved, that we will see. And the first thing to understand the issues is first to zero in on the question of kuti. Now remember that a kuti does not mean a goy. A kuti means a specific group of people. These were the people that were brought by Sancheirav, and they replaced the original inhabitants. They were the ones that made trouble for the Binyan Beit HaMikdash, which is when Ezra made a gzeira on them that their pot should be usher. And they were actually Megayer. Now, this is a story in Tanakh. The reason they were Megayer was because the lions were after them. And they decided the lions were after them because the lions were being sent by the Lord of the land. And therefore, they better learn the rules of the Lord of the land. So the question is whether Gerei Arayot with an olive are real Gerim or not real Gerim. And the other question is, if even so, we posked that they were Gerei Emet. And whether you hold Gerei Arayot or good or not, they were subsequently Begayer totally. The question nowadays is irrelevant, at least on the surface, because there was a subsequent Gezerah that is mentioned in the Gemara Chulin, where they were Gozer on Kutim to be the total equivalent of Goyim. And therefore, there's no specific din by Kutim at all. However, as the Shach points out, there is still relevance, possibly, to this halacha, because it would apply to things that are the equivalent of Kutim. The problem with the Kutim was that they had never accepted the details of Torah Sheba'al Peh, and therefore, they were very similar to the Karaim and the Tzedukim, except that they had this additional issue of whether they were Megayer, and then they had this additional issue of having this ethnic affinity for the idols that had been left by Yaakov Avinu on Har Gerizim when he had first come there, and they found that they were worshipping there, and there they made this gzeirah that they have to be treated like Goyim. But where you have people that have similar belief systems in terms of Torah Sheba'al Peh, we ought to be able to learn from that how to deal with the Karaim, or how to deal with the Tzedukim, or these various sects that gradually die out anyway. But there's always, you know, renewed relationship to these sects. So it would be Nogea, maybe Reform Judaism on some levels, and so on. Now, the Maaseh brings that even the Karaim, Bizman Hazeh, will kill Kalum Maaseihem, and therefore they should be included in the same concept as Kigoyim L'chol Dover. Now, that's, again, you know, it's a question of can you extend the Gezerah to a different body later on because at the same time it's not so partial. But as you can see, there would be some serious relationship to the issues that come up nowadays all the time about Eidus by Gittin. Okay. The actual case in the Mishnah, however, I just want to stress again, is not relevant because Kutim do not, there's no such thing as Kutim. They're akutim, but they have the same din as goyim. And therefore, whatever the halacha would be about arkaot, which is our next sugya, which we also mentioned yesterday briefly, a civil get, or get in a civil court, that would be exactly the same here for edikut. So first of all, we want to go through the question of utilizing the reliability or the acts of a kuti before the gezera that made the kuti goyim b'chol davar. So we have a fascinating machlokas three ways about, it starts about the question of Pesach and matzah that is bought from a kuti. Now what's the halacha over there? Now on the surface points out the Gemara, our Mishnah makes sense. No sense, because it doesn't follow any of the three rulings that we know of. Binogea the dinim of the kuti. Mani matnitin. It's neither the Tanakama in the upcoming Braita, nor Rabbi Elazar in the upcoming Braita, nor Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And what is that Braita, the Tanya? A matzah that you get that was made by a kuti is muteret, and Adam Yotzei Bar Yedei Chovato B'Pesach. It's even kosher for matzat mitzvah, which means that not only do we rely on the kuti, that he knows how to carefully make certain that it's not chometz, he even knows about the din of lishma, and keeps that din of shmira lishma. Now, Tosis points out that none of this makes any sense in terms of the Gezerah of Ezra. Because since these Kutim were the ones who at the time of Ezra were writing letters against the Binyan of Beis HaMikdash, and they created a lot of those problems. So Ezra made a Gezerah that anybody who eats from the pot of a Kuti is like eating Basar Chazir. So how could you eat the matzah of a Kuti? Doesn't make any sense. So Rabbi Natan says over here, matzah of a Kuti means that a Jew made the dough, and then he handed over the kuti to finish it up, and therefore we need to rely on Shmira, and we need to rely on the Shmira Lishma, which anyway avoids the Ezra problem, because the Yisrael made the matzah. And the question over here is only about the issue of whether they're Bekiyim in the Dinim of Lishma, and how to make sure that it wasn't Yitchameh. Now, there's another very important issue about the kut. There's a lot of stuff here that's between the lines that we're taking for granted. One of them is the fact that they are literalists. Since they are literalists, the pasuk in the Torah that says "Lifnei iver lo titein michshol" means to them not to put a stumbling block in front of a blind man. You know, which any 3-year-old could figure out. But anyway, that's about the extent of the mitzvah, according to the Kutim. But it does give ideas to 3-year-olds. I mean, it's not a good idea to maybe teach this in school too early. But in any event, according to us, of course, if they ever means, you cannot be machshel someone in a mitzvah. So therefore, since they don't hold that that's the meaning, why would they not feed you matzah the way they feed you meat in Muncie? So in other words, I won't eat it, but that doesn't mean I won't feed it to you, right? So if that's the case, there's another issue, that they're not makbet and lifnei iver, which also has to be addressed, and the Gemara Chulin addresses it, and talks about the belief or reliance on kutim only where we know that he would eat from it. So that we know, for instance, that this is the only matzah that he baked. This is the matzah that he's going to be using for Pesach himself. The Lifneiv is not a problem. The Gezerah of Ezra that gave Pat Kuti and Israel is not a problem because Yisrael made it. Okay, so the only issue is, can we trust them in terms of their Bikiyut and the Halacha? Okay, so there the Tanakhama says, absolutely, because this Halacha is written in the Torah, and, you know, it's something that they do keep, whether they really know how to darshan or don't know how to darshan, but for them it's a religion. Religion has its weird stuff, so people do things, so they do things, fine. So this, we rely on them. The question of whether we need that it should be katuv, besides muhzak, the Gemara gets into in Chulin, and Tosis has a long analysis over here of what precisely does our Gemara hold about that, and since our main concern is not about kutim, it's about edut, we will allow the intense curiosity and desire to know to wait a few years until we get to Chulin. It's just around the corner. Now, that's the sheet of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Elazar says, forget about using it for the Seder. You can't even eat it. on Pesach. You have to be chayesh chametz. Why? Because for all of the best intentions, it's osur because enam bikiyim b'dukei mitzvot. They don't know enough about the details, even how to be shomer from chimutz. The chimutz has very specific halakas, how much is considered to be chimutz. They're going to know that this is matzah of 18 minutes. They don't know that kind of stuff. Therefore, you have to be chayish for chimutz. Forget about b'shma. L'shma is a much bigger thing that they're not bakiyin. So therefore, you can't even eat it in terms of kashrut. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Amar, it is not a function of particularly the fact that matzah is written in the Torah. That is irrelevant. The bottom line is that when people are religious, the reason for their doing things has nothing to do with reality. They just do it because that's what they believe. And therefore, any mitzvah, which we know is part of their religious observance, they're very makbid on. They're more makbid than a normal Yisrael, right? The normal Yisrael goes according to the halacha. So, okay, I mean, he knows that he doesn't halacha. It's like every religious woman says to her husband, stop trafing up my kitchen. You know, try to get a woman to go, I'll leave the halacha. What are you talking about? I can use a part of a knife after it was inside of a pot that was used 3 years ago for, you know, that kind of stuff. Leave me alone with your halacha, meshuggah. I'm going to eat your stuff on Pesach? No way. Okay, so that's basically the way the Kutim are. If you happen to know that this is something that their religion tells them to do, then they do it. And they're harbei medaktikim by yoter Yisrael. And they're even more makbid than real Yisrael are. And because of that, of course you can rely on them. And it would not only be for the Kutim. It would be for the, not only matzah, but it would be for generally, for any mitzvah that happens to be part of their religious beliefs. You don't have to look into the Torah and see, do they know this pasuk? And is it written that way? Is that it? It's not the point. Now, we have three shitot here. According to which shita could we possibly read our Mishnah? Okay, money. If we're going according to the Tanna Kamma, the Tanna Kamma says that we do not have any problem with something that is clear in the Torah, so then why wouldn't they be kosher for any shtar? Afilu shar shtarot nami. I mean, it says only the special halacha will accept 1/8 kuti on dafka get, because well, we need to, whatever. I mean, what do you mean? What's the problem? You're telling me as a normal Jew, we're not going according to the times yet when we were goyzer that should be kigoyim lechol davar. We don't have a problem with Geirei Arayot. So what's the issue? If it's going al libe de Rabbi Elazar, so Rabbi Elazar says you can't rely on them. If you can't rely on them, how can we rely on them to sign on the get at all? So even 1/8 kuti should be possible. I feel a geti shanami lo. If it's going al Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, look, I mean, whatever the situation is, if they are mukzak to sign properly and they're makbid on veracity, so then afilu shar shtarot nami, so then any shtar that they sign on should be the way we just said about the Tanna Kamma. If they are not mukzak to be careful about their signatures, so then afilu get isha nami. And I don't try to tell me that the Mishnah is being samech on Rav Shimon Gamliel's svara and simply is reporting on a fact, and that is, well, kutim actually are very careful when it comes to gittim, and therefore you can rely on them because that's part of their religion, and they're not really reliable about telling the truth or signing contracts, and that's the way it is. Don't try to tell me that, because the kitim Rav Shimon Gamliel. Actually, the Mishnah is very simple. It's going according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, and it's merely a logistical difference when the Mishnah says that they're only believed on Gitei Nashim and Shechruri Avanim is because they happen to be Mukzak for that. And they're not Mukzak, Mukzak Baha, but they're not Mukzak to sign telling the truth on other Shtarot. If that would be the case, then what does it have to do with Eid Echad Kuti? Why is it an Eid Echad Kuti? You're telling me they're Mukzak to sign, then why can't they Mukzak to sign as two witnesses? Then they're a normal witness. So that can't be what the Mishnah is saying. Because then, my Erechav, Afilu Trei Nami, why then does Rabbi Elazar say, Lo Yichshiru Bo'ela Eid Echad Kuti Bilvad? Now, to explain that, answers the Gemara, look, here's my suggestion. it may well be going according to Rabbi Elazar. And Rabbi Elazar says, look, you can't rely on a kuti because he's not yadua to be a bucky in things. And he's not careful to, he doesn't know you have to say specifically when you sign a contract that you really know. He thinks maybe you're just putting your John Hancock on there because they want to be Bacha, whatever. Right? Okay. So what we would be talking about, again, on the face of it, is that he shouldn't be accepted even as a single witness. However, the reason we say 1/8 kuti is very simple. It's talking about that there is 1/8 kuti, and beneath the signature of the 8 kuti is Richie. Yep. Now, you have to ask yourself, would Richie ever sign on a get that had an 8 kuti above it? Never.
He wouldn't be uncouth.
Maybe below it.
Never. Maybe below it, exactly. That's the point. Because below it, he doesn't know what they're going to do after him. But he does know what they did before him. And therefore, if he sees a kuti signing up ahead, he would never have signed. He would say, wait a minute, I don't want to be part of this, right? Okay. So if we have a chotim Yisrael besof, we're over there, ilav the kuti chaver havet, if he wouldn't know this guy and know that he's perfectly reliable, so then he would never have signed. And this indeed gets very, very deeply into the issues that have to do with the questions of reform and conservative contracts and gittin and so on and so forth. And very often these people are personally very machved on mitzvahs or whatever, you know. So again, as we had talked about in the shach, dinim that apply to kutim could apply to other sects that arise in Klal Yisrael that have similar systems of belief. We believe this, we don't believe that. We have a religion where the religion includes things rant to us. We understand they're totally random and, you know, it makes absolutely no difference. But that's the question. Can you actually rely on it if you know that this guy is good? These are all shadows will come up. So if you have an 8 effort Yisrael that is signed beneath such a signature, so as the Shach suggests, this suya has very much to do with, even though it's not Nogel Halacha for Kutim, it is Nogel Halacha for other sects. Okay. So in any event, what we say is that if Richie signs at the bottom, then he would never have signed unless he knew that this guy is a really reliable guy. And therefore, if it wouldn't be that this kuti is a frum regib, a chaver avi, lo avi machtim le mikamei, wouldn't have allowed this kuti signature to be up there. Wait.
Some of my best friends are kuti.
But you wouldn't have them sign. That's the point. Okay. Ask the Gemara. I always thought about kuti when we're sitting here in kuti's room.
Yeah.
So anyway, ask the Gemara, but wait, if this is the case, wouldn't this also be true about any contract? I mean, why are we talking about gittin? You're saying we know that we have kosher einim. That's what you're saying. So what's the difference if it's a get? I understand it can only be talking about 1/8, because the second 8 has to be a Yisrael. Fine. That part you've ingeniously answered. But you haven't explained to me, if this is the case, why is there an afkamina between gittin nashim and regular shtoreis? Ella, what's the reason that you're not making this a klal? Because, Amrinan, the reason we can't rely on it is, look, if Richie is signed as the second witness, right, knowing Richie, he would always sign on the second line, even if he was the first guy to sign. Why? Because he would say, what am I going to sign the first one, and what if they call up the Rav and that? It's going to look not good. I mean, why would we put Richie first? We always put Richie last. So therefore, I'm going
to
leave a line. I mean, it happens to be true. You would definitely sign on the second line. So why did he do this? To leave room up ahead that somebody more chashuv should be the one to sign first, right? So Ema, we're worried. Amrinan revoke shavak lamanda koshish mine. That at least, what if somebody more chasher, somebody older than him? I don't know if it's possible anymore to be older, Richard. Well, the president might come in, right?
So my exercise.
That's true.
The youngest one there. You know?
Wild. Median age deceased. So lamanda koshish mine. So why not say the same thing as by a get? how do we know that the second signature necessarily implies that the first signature is part of what he's being made on? He wouldn't have signed if he didn't know. Maybe he had no idea what they would put up there. So maybe Nami Revoka Shavak Lamanda Koshish Bine. Omer of Papa, this is an amazing proof. Oh my God. If this is the Pshat Namisha, you learn an unbelievable halacha from here. Zot Omeret, Ede Yaget, Enchot Bim Sebelozet. There must be a takana that you cannot sign on a get waiting for the next guy to sign. Both of the witnesses have to be there. Now, why would we have made such a gezera? For an amazingly wonderful reason. Since a get is always delivered, I'll be the da'at of the husband. Suppose the husband says, listen here, you little witch, I'll give you a get, okay? But only if 100 people in town sign on it so that they all know. Public, I want you on the ground. Okay, so then the halacha is all 100 people have to sign or else the get is bustle, because that's the way that he said the get. And that's called kulchem. So if somebody asks 10 people, so all of you, I want all of you to write a get to my wife. What that means is it's a single get, but they all have to sign the get.
And if one of them
doesn't sign, they get his parcel. Now, if we start going around collecting signatures, what is to prevent someone from presenting a get like that with 2 out of the 10 signatures? And it's completely a get parcel because everybody signed, assuming that after them, everybody else will sign, but they didn't. So therefore, we made a gezerah. Unless all of the edim that were told to sign signed together, nobody can sign. Amazing that we derived that from the Mishnah. So my time, Omer Rav Ashi, Gezeira Mishum Kulchem. In a case of Kulchem, it would be a disaster. Gufa. Okay, let's go back to Rabbi Lazar's statement about needing one get. One signature, rather, only, of a kuti. So Omer Rabbi Lazar, Lo Yeshir Bo Ela Eid Echad Kuti Bovat. So, do I really need Rabbi Lazar to teach me how to read? I mean, isn't that what the Mishnah said? Tanina kol geit sheyesha lav eid kuti pasul, except for gitei nashim and so on. If the din would be even 2 eidim, I mean, you should have told me a bigger chiddush. No, that's not true, because what was the Mishnah supposed to say? Kol geit sheyesha lav shnei eidim is pasul chutz? Then I would have thought that a normal contract would be kosher if it only had one. And it's only because both are kuti. So I have to say it this way. Because imimat nitin avamina, truth is, a filotre would be kosher by gitei nashim. The reason that it said chad is because the shtarot are possible even with chad. So it had to say chad, right? So b'shtarot afilu chad, nami lo. Kamash molan, that no, it says one in both directions. Even one possible b'shtarot, and only one is kosher for gitei nashim. Wait, but how could you say that, Rabbi Lazar? Keep reading the Mishnah. You're saying 2 witnesses kuti would be pasul. Doesn't it say v'katani ma'aseh ve'evil lifnei Rabbi Amliel lekvar otnai geit isha v'ayu eidav eidei kutim v'hichshir? Omer Abaye, oh yeah, it's got to be a mistake. Somebody read a do as if it was written with a yud, a dove, and they stuck in a yud. But really, the case must have been there was a single eight. Of course, Rava never accepts those changes in Girsaot. And Rava says, no, please. It says to, it means to. Rabbi Gamliel indeed is arguing on the Tanakhama specifically. And you'll tell me, I mean, you can't just bring a miserly star. You're right. You can't bring a miserly store unless there's a chisur in mechasra. And therefore, since we see on the face of it that there's a miserly store, as we pointed out when we read the Mishnah, wait a minute, you said Eid Echad, and then you bring a story of Rambam Gamliel who says Eidav. Therefore, the Mishnah is indeed chisur in mechasra, and stick in the words of Achi Katani, the Rabbi Gamliel Machshir Bishnayim, and now back to the Lashon of the Mishnah, Umasenami Shevil if there are Gamliel Kvart Nai Geti Shah, Vayu Eidav, Edekutim, Vichshir. Okay, so therefore, Rabbi Gamliel holds like his own son. So then he would hold that if they're muksak, they're muksak. So maybe anarchinami, they're muksak for X and not muksak for Y. Maybe that's the point. So you could have all kutim are very careful about yitin nashim. And the question that we asked before, we said, well, you can't say that, they're not filu trade. Yes, correct, not filu trade. We only answered one because we were going like Rabbi Elazar. But we're going like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Then Rabbi Gamliel holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And he gives indeed the teretz that we wanted to give before, that it's talking about that they are indeed muhzakim for Yitin Arshim and Kiddushin. And the only problem is we need to know. But we know that they're muhzak. And therefore, too, are kosher, exactly as you said. And that's why it says Rav Shimon Gamliel was matir and get, where both of the witnesses were kutim.
And here they came from Har Gerizim all the way to Kfar Adnai to testify.
Tomorrow, tonight, it says it's 18 hours, 11 minutes from Har Gerizim.
Yeah, walking.
Walking?
Walking.
That's all it is, 18 hours?
89 kilometers.
Wow, that's not bad at all.
No.
How does one get this to show you walking?
There's three options, walking, bus, or car.
Really? It's a genius. I'm going to move to Google. I use Waze still like an old-fashioned.
Waze has the same thing.
Waze has walking options?
I think so.
I never saw it. Baruch ato Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bedvaro. Amazing. And now it is time for the Volga Boatman.
Oh.
Did you get any contracts for him over there?
Working on it. The virtual presence is just amazing.
The river. Russia.
Kol hashtarot ha'olim b'arkaot shel ovdei kochavim, af al pi shechotmeihem ovdei kochavim are kosher. So any contract that comes out of a goyish court, signed by pure goyim, are completely kosher. Except for Gita Nashim Vishikrei Avadim. And we'll get into all of this. But obviously, there's a major difference between normal contracts and this contract. Normal contracts are proofs of occurrence in civil court. And since we have what is essentially a chazaka, there's an umdana, that a court is not going to issue a document that will make fools of them. And therefore, any court, unless it's, you know, a kangaroo court, which only appears in, apparently in Australia, but any court has an umdana that whatever comes out of that courtroom was carefully considered by people with wigs on their heads and so on. And therefore, they must be duly constituted, at least attorneys, you know, and they learned how to close the door behind them and so on. So these must be kosher shtarot. So, Midrabanan, we view that umdana as essentially the equivalent of a full shtar. They gave it a din of a shtar. But we cannot do that with Gitei Noshim and Gitei Shichrurei Avodim for the simple reason that the shtar has nothing to do with being a raya. We believe every last bit of it, but our belief doesn't constitute a get. The get has to achieve the kritut. And that requires the involvement of the people who are included in the parsha of kritut, and obviously people who are included in the parsha of edut. And therefore, now remarkably, gentlemen, Rashi seems to learn, this is all discussion among the Achronim, Rashi seems to learn that goyim are kosher for edut.
Bichlal?
In anything that, midiraita, they're kosher edut. Because yesterday, he said, in Amud Beit, that as long as it's dinim, dinim are included in the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Since they're included in Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, there's no chisson of them not being in the Parsha. Therefore, why wouldn't they be good eating? Tosfos learns that there's two completely different issues over here. They're not included in Eidut. The question of whether they're included in Dinim has to do with Shlichut, perhaps. In other words, somebody who is not included in a halacha cannot be someone who has anything to do with the creation of the document or the bringing the Shlichut and so on and so forth. So according to Tosfos, the idea of the psul here would be people who have nothing to do with the parsha. They're not mitzvah and gittin and kedushin. They can't create gittin and kedushin. Obviously cannot sign or create the document of gittin and kedushin. And therefore it won't help to have an umdana that it's the truth, because nothing but the truth has nothing to do with the issue of creating the state that a document has to achieve. And we pointed this out when we started the sugya, that there's this fundamental difference. A gate, even though we use it as a general word, the reason we prefer shtar for other things is because it's basically normally raya, a shtar. And gate we use for something that actually creates the reality, even though the actual words aren't any different. Okay, but we'll get into this. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, everything is kosher, even a get. And as we saw before, that's because Yorad Rabbi Shimon Ledaiter Shrabi Elazar at Ede Mesira Karti. And the witnesses are only on the get to make life easier, but they're not what makes the get the get. Fine. Obviously, we had the problem of so won't people make the mistake of relying on them, and we said, again, it's talking about that good old Christopher von Hoffenstein is the one that signed the get. Okay, that we'll get to again, obviously, at the end of the daf. So, the first problem we have, though, is an amazing problem, which is, you said that the normal shtarot are basically riots, right? But that's not true. There is a concept of a shtar that creates a state even when it's used on civil, secular issues. And that is called a shtar of kinyan. Now, goyim do not have shtar as a mode of kinyan. And therefore, they should not be allowed to issue a shtar of kinyan for the same reason that they're not allowed to issue a get. They only have shtar of rayas. This contract is a proof that such and such a transaction was completed. But not that the creation of the transaction can be achieved by a shtar, because the Torah didn't give them kinyanim with shtarot, and in general they don't really have a concept of kinyan. They just have a concept of registration. All right, so now we are accepting the new ba'alut. But states of kinyan is not, you know, what's the difference? It's only a question of gemar das. Yeah, that's why mechiras chometz is all kinds of other ways of achieving the mechira. Now, we write the shtar, but the Beis Din does more than use a shtar for the Mechira. They do like 20 different types of kinyon. Right. Okay.
The way they're not kinyon.
Correct. They have kinyon, but they don't have kinyon shtaris. So now, why, if the Mishnah is kaposik v'tani, the Mishnah says any shtar. It says kol ha-shtarot, other than gitim and the shichurim. Now, that doesn't make any sense, because the words kol ha-shtarot would include loshna mecher, Veloshna matana. Now look, I understand that a mecher, a shtar mecher, a sale. Okay, a sale means that when the court signs on the sale, it's basically signing on the transfer of the money. That's the point. So that's midiraita, that would be fine. The goy transfers the money, that's always the case. So we put the money now into an account, right? And the moment that it's transferred is the moment of the kinyan. The shtar is a raya to that. Okay, so this was done by the such and such a company that was holding a lawyer that was holding the money, and now the shtar is testifying to the fact that the money was transferred. So there, mechiyoyv zuzikamayu, when that takes place, the transference of the money, then iskone, and the court is issuing this document as a raya. Okay, we now recognize and register so-and-so as the legal owner of this property. That's fine, because as we said before, a court of any kind has an umdana that the documents that they put out are true. They're not going to be mare nafshayu to write something that's a lie. They would never have written a shtar stamped by their court if they didn't know what they were doing. But when a shtar is a gift, so I am gifting you whatever it is, how could that shtar serve as the shtar of the kinyan? But this shtar is a piece of chaspa b'yam. It's like a broken piece of pottery. Little did they know that all of the shtarot of the goyim would one day be viewed by archaeologists as broken pieces of pottery. Or perhaps they did know. Maybe that's the point. So all it is a
astrakhan.
There you go. Is there a remez to astrakhan? Chaspa b'yam.
Yeah, that's writing on it. Because ostraca were for ostracizing people, so that's where the word comes from.
Mm. You want to put someone in nidui, I mean, you're only going to do it on Keres, right? Like Bilam. Okay. We have that ostracon written by Bilam also. Yeah. Signed by Bilam ben Baor. Oh. With a beautiful curse, which is not mentionable in public. Anyway, so this shtar is a chaspa b'yama. Now, Tosis points out, now, wait a minute, chaspa b'yama, I mean, chaspa b'yama, like, are we talking about chaspa b'yama because they're not included in the parsha, or chaspa b'yama because they're not included in the natives? Okay, it's a chaspa b'yama, again, this would be nugeh, that machlokas Rashi v'Tosis. But anyway, it's a piece of astrakhan. How can you use it? And here Shmuel comes up with this amazing answer. The reason you can use it is because dina de malchuta dina. If the government recognizes a kinyan of this type, then it doesn't matter whether the Torah recognizes it or not, because the da'at of all of the individuals living in the country is to conduct all their monetary issues according to the law. And if this is the way that the law views it, then it would be the equivalent of kol tnai shebamom and iskayim, and this is what they're agreeing on. And therefore, dina machus adina, v'ibayit ema, or maybe, you know what? Put in the word instead of chutz mi gitei nashim, put in a chaf, chutz mi ki gitei nashim. Anything which would be like, meaning a piece of paper that is meant to create the state rather than testifying to the state, that the court cannot do. Rabbi Shimon's, amen. Why not? Afeluk sherim. What? V'alafin ekritut nino. How could they be kosher? Now, according to Tosfos, he's got a problem. He could have said, alaf b'nei edut nino. According to Rashi, if they're b'nei edut, fine. The truth is, of course, Rashi would be made of that only they're only b'nei edut because of dinim. Forget the Mekedushin, they're also not b'nei edut. Therefore, Tosfos points out, the Gemara could have said v'alav b'nei edut. Doesn't necessarily have to say v'alav b'nei kritut. We're not coming on to an additional level where there can't be a shliach and so on and so forth, right? So how do you explain the fact that a goyish a get would be kosher? Amar, Rabbi Zera, Yarad, Rabbi Shimon, Lashitatosho, Rabbi Elazar, Yomrei, Nemesira, Karte. It's because of the halacha that you don't even need witnesses at all. And you can buy just this Chinese get, and as long as you have kosher witnesses for the act of handing it over, that's what the get is. Not the writing of the get, the signing of the get.
So go ahead, can't be 80.
It can't be 80. No, it's talking about that we have 80 Mesira kosher. It's Jewish, and it's just saying the contract. Qua contract is fine. What's the difference? So you found it in the garbage pail or whatever it is. But we said before the Reb Abba pointed out that Reb Elazar is made of a mezuyef bitocho shepasu. If you have no witnesses, that's fine. But if you have witnesses that are not good witnesses, it's not fine. Because it's called prima facie pasul. Answers the Gemara. We're talking about over here that the famous Christopher von Hofenstein was the one who signed on the get. And therefore it's b'shemot muvakim. It's obvious, as we said yesterday, that this is not a Jew and makes no attempt to be a Jew. And therefore, no Jew would call himself that name. And here, too, it's the same answer. Since the reason is only mezuyaf mitocho, anybody who looks at this get says, this ain't mezuyaf mitocho, because obviously it wasn't that we're going to be samech on Christopher von Offenstein, and we're going to end up being samech on this person as a true aide. Everyone knows that he's a guy, and it must be that that was just, you know, in the court. But obviously, there must have been kosher aid in Mesira. Therefore, this is not called Mizuyif Mitocho Hafilu Aliba de Rabbi Elazar. What about those people who take on specifically Goyish names to avoid the Nazis? Everybody in many communities in Europe will only get a contract with Goyish, a completely Goyish name. A passport with completely Goyish names, so they can't be spotted easily by the Nazi authorities when they come back into power. Okay, so obviously Shemot Muvakim would have to be Shemot Muvakim that were not adopted by Israel. I have grandchildren with the name of Winston Spencer and so on and so on. I mean, who's going to know they're Jewish? That's the point.
Do they have like Hebrew names also?
Yeah, but on their all their legal documents are in the... I didn't even remember their names. Two French names, too complicated to remember.
It's Churchill.
Was it? Winston. No, Winston, that one I remember, because Winston Spencer is named after Churchill. Yeah. Not that I think the Nazis would appreciate that name too much anyway, but you never know. As long, of course, as it wasn't actually made the dough by him, because then it would be part of Zakat of Ezra. And as long as we know that he's the only one that was the only matzah that he was going to eat himself, and therefore there's no lifnei iver. And as long as it's before the gezerah of kutim being goyim kol davar, etc., etc., etc. But that's all meant for you to know. So matzat kutim is muteret, and you can use it for your seder. Relying on the lishma and the shmira and everything else. Rabbi Elazar, oser, l'fisha ein b'ki, b'dikei mitzvot. You can't rely on them because they don't really know what they're doing. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, kol mitzvah, shechziku b'kutim, harbe medaktikim b'yoter mi'Yisrael. So this doesn't work out according to anybody. Money. Well, whatever the case is, I mean, if they were mulchak, so then any star. If they weren't mulchak, even again, isha namilo. And don't try to tell me that, well, maybe it's just logistic. It's going like a Shem Gamlio. And it happens to be that kutibur achzuk baha in this type of star, namely gitenash b'shek re'afanim, and they're not mulchak to be kosher for normal star. Because they're not makbet on lying or whatever. So niyochim mayari chad afilu trei nami. Why would it require only one eid kuti aloma omer Rabbi Elazar lo yekshiru ba'ala eid echad kuti bilvad? Okay. So therefore the truth is, it would be going aliba the Rabbi Elazar. And the reason we accept in this particular case, this kuti is begon to chotim Yisrael l'besof, and he loved that he knew that this kuti is a kuti chaver, he would never have been machtim lemikame. Well, so you could say that about other shtarot. So why don't you? Because elam rinu revoch shavak laman de kosher shbinei. So then, how do you know that that didn't happen here too? Hachinami revoch shavak laman de kosher shbinei. Omar of Papa zot omeret ede hagait ein chotmim zebloze. My taima. Omer Rav Ashi gezera mishum kulchem gufa. Omer Rav Elazar lo yechshir bo aledech kuti bilvad. My kamashmon, I know how to read. Tanina kol get sheyesh lav eid kuti pasro, etc. Chutz b'gitei doshim. Nach. Imimat nitin, I would have thought afilu trei nami. Except I have no choice but to say eid is because I'm writing that shtarot. Shtarot would be pasro afilu trei nami lo. No, it's dafka for both reasons. It's only eid echad. But the Mishnah itself doesn't agree. V'treilo, ha'ktani ma'aseh ve'evil ha'feiru gamliel l'kvaro tonight, get isha, v'ayu eidav eidekuti v'yikshir. So what are you telling me? It's a ma'aseh listor? Omer Abai, it must be a mistake. Yours, it's Nihedu. Rav Omer Liolam Trey. And indeed, Rav Galil's Miflat Polig. And it would have been a Mahaseli story, therefore, it's Machayev you to recognize Chisra and Mechasra. Vahaki Katani. Rav Gamliel Bakshir are even Bishnaim. Uma said Nami Shevil, if they're Rav Gamliel at Kvar Otnai. Yet Isha, and they rang the bell when it was paskened that are you a dove de kutim beishir. Kol ashtarot olim barkaot shalakum afa pishachot meyam of de kohavim kishirim, chutz vikite nashim vishikure avadim. Rabbi Shimon omer af elu kishirim, lo huzkru ala bezman shenasu behed yod. Now, kaposik vatami. Loshna Mecher, Loshna Matana, I understand Mecher, because Mecher is only a Raya. Michiyoyv Zizik Amayo of the court, that was the Kinyan. The Shtar is merely Raya Bialmahu. And certainly, Lo Yayv Zizik Amayo, the judges would never have been Mari Nafshayo Vikadvina Leshtara. However, the Matana is meant to actually conclude the state of the Kinyan. But this shtora is nothing but a chaspa v'yamo. Oh, my sure, it's because dina de malchuta dina. V'yboitema t'ni chutz mi kegite nashi. Rabban Shimon Omer, af elu kisherim. V'alav b'nei kritu t'ninu. Omer Rabbi Zera, nu. Yorad Rabbi Shimon, l'shitato shir Rabbi Elazar. D'yomer edei mesira karte. Mizuyaf.